You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Lob for Capella, makes the catch in traffic and drops it through. And then runs into Giannis, both go tumbling down. And Giannis is grabbing toward his left knee area.
Oh my, and he is not moving.
He's in the locker room with the guys and just address the group. And, but nothing, above and beyond. Or, we'll see how he is tomorrow.
What the Bucks were saying when they ruled him out was that he hyperextended his left knee.
Hey, who's ready for a Herder-Zubac final?
Yo.
Oh, my Lord.
First of all, for everybody out there listening, welcome to the Barton Hahn Show. I tell you what, you got to appreciate this beat in the background. DJ Killigrew, whoever's on the ones and twos today, man, I appreciate that, man. It's like that, and that's the way it is.
And the way it is ain't good. Not for the Milwaukee Bucks.
It's not,
for a star in this league
it's
now.
It's not the way it is for that, but it's the way it's been. And the basketball gods have a weird sense of humor and a way of balancing the scales. Kawhi Leonard out, right? We look at LeBron James, Anthony Davis out. We look at Kyrie Irving, Harden hurt out. Now we look at Trae Young out. And now everybody has to deal with a hurt star. And this challenges each team the same way, and everybody's been challenged at different parts of the postseason. We talk about Jamal Murray being out. So this is a beautiful tragedy, right? Because I'm happy that Giannis it was hyperextended. So you think about bone bruises.
We're still getting it checked out today, though. Don't forget.
Well, you think about bone bruises and stuff like that. I don't think maybe it's not the ACL is what we all fear. But the fact, that he was able to walk off means absolutely nothing, people. I've seen people that tear their ACL, MCL, PCL, and walk right off. And when the swelling comes, they do the imaging, it's tore, right? But right now, this forces, Chris Middleton to be Paul George. It forces Chris Middleton to be Kevin Durant. Okay, you say you a star? You may not have been the main act. You might have been the best supporting actor. Now you got to be the main act. Let's see how he does.
He is Bart Scott. I'm Chris Carlin. And for Alan Hahn, it is the Bart and Hahn Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And as you heard already, Bart bringing the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. It's just awful to see in that moment. But you're right. If you're a star in the postseason, you just have to wonder who's next. It's like the stupid rule of threes, right? Exactly. Except this is like the rule of sevens now. And I can't try to really grasp what we're going to be looking at here when you don't have a Bucks team with Giannis, when you don't have a Hawks team with Trae Young. Because to me, when I hear deep bone bruise and he really tried to give it a go last night and it was nowhere close, that makes me think you're not going to see him at least the next game. So right now you've got a series without a star, and you've got what's going on out west. We'll get to that in a moment with just the possibility of a team winning a championship without their superstar player. And
but guess what?
I mean, like, I'd have to go back to the Lakers in 79 losing Kareem for game six.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen over an extended period, but it's happening to everybody.
But it is a
this is unprecedented.
But it's a fair fight now. And I don't want to hear LeBron tweet and see, I told you. Listen, that was a hyperextension.
I'll get to that in a minute.
That has nothing to do with the shortness of the season, anything like that. That was a freak accident. Kyrie falling on Giannis's foot. Oddly enough, Giannis is the one that put the other star out.
Mm-hmm.
Poetic justice?
Yeah.
Some may say. I don't know. Karma? I don't know. Credit karma? Did I might read credit karma today? I shouldn't have mentioned him if I'm not. But I tell you what. Listen, it just kind of happens like that. And so now, remember, the Bucks are supposed to be a team that is not a big one. It's not a big two. They're supposed to be a big three. So let's see if Drew Holiday can dust off his, Reggie Jackson and put his cape on like he used to have a cape when he was with the Pelicans, but now he's just a mere mortal. Let's see if he can put his cape on and if he can be that star. But listen, I don't mind games where it's not equal stars because I know I'm going to see a game where I see teams that are equally yoked and equally matched going against each other. And Sweet Lou Chicken, guess what? Who knew when he was in the bubble and he stepped out and he got them Sweet Lou lemon pepper chicken that was going to be his home? And Sweet Lou was so sweet yesterday.
He was really, really good. First up, here's Mike Budenholzer, the Bucks coach after the game on Giannis and his status.
He's in the locker room with the guys and just addressed the group. And
I didn't want any dead air.
So. He's in the locker room with the guys and just...
Third time.
He's in the locker room with the guys and just addressed.
Well, I'll tell you what. The Budenholzer is probably crying somewhere in the corner because this
here,
is.
Let's hear him. We'll play it from the studio.
Oh, man.
You know what's amazing about this is that was so clearly a response to him not being able to go, to finding out shortly before the game and just going out there and tearing it up for Atlanta in front of your home crowd. That is an emotional response type win last night. But normally I would not think for a second that that would carry over moving forward. To me, that was an in the moment response type win, not a response type win that we're going to be able to take that through the rest of the series. But now with no Giannis, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows that we could be actually talking about the Atlanta Hawks, who in New York, I personally said that if they beat the Knicks and beat them in five games, it'd be a massive disappointment for the Knicks.
Nah.
You could see the Atlanta Hawks without Trae Young in the NBA Finals.
So now you put more respect on the battle and the fight that the Knicks have. So now the Knicks are being elevated. Like, yo, maybe you underestimated, the depth. And listen, we've been giving a lot of credit to Tyronn Lue out there. How about tip your hat off to Nate McMillan, who still has – listen, if they don't take this damn interim coach thing off, if he goes to the finals, yeah. I want that strip that day. And I want a massive contract.
Let's hear from Nate McMillan on how his team stepped up last night without Trey. Right now, if we are going to operate under the assumption that you don't have Trey and you don't have Giannis for the rest of this series, who do you want? All knotted up at two, best of three series. Which of these rosters do you want? Also, keeping in mind that two of the three are in Milwaukee. Who are you going to ride with?
I'm going to ride with the Hawks. Because, listen, the Milwaukee Bucks have nobody on their team that's capable of giving you 30 like Giannis gives you every night. I know sometimes we don't appreciate it, but he gives you 30 every night. And we don't know how he gets it, but he gets 30 every night. Lou Williams can do a better person impersonation of Trae Young than Brooke Lopez
can do of Giannis. That's a good call.
And you think about the other scorers in their team, right? P.J. Tucker, he's not a scorer. He's a defender.
Nope.
Holiday hasn't showed up.
You need somebody like Pat Connaughton to have a big night shooting the ball.
Right, over and over again. And I think that when you look at where can I get the scoring from, you look at the fact that, Collins was able, not really have a big game, but we know that he's capable, right?
And he's also capable of hitting big shots when they need
him. And Clint Capella, he's going to give you a solid 10 to 15 and great on the defensive board. Bogdanovich yesterday with 20, he's capable. But, man, they got a guy that reminds me of Billy Hoyle, man. Give him the chump, man. Give him the chump. And that's Herter. Who knew that this dude could play ball, man? I mean, he gave you 15, but he's a guy that's not afraid of the big moment. And if he has a matchup issue like he had when he was going against Curry, man, he will eat you up barbecue chicken. He is unafraid. And at 6'7", he can shoot over most little guards. You know what I mean? So, listen, they have more people. And then, listen, I forgot and didn't even know that they had Cam Reddish. Now, I'm not as bad as Charles Barkley thinking that Jeff Teague was still on the Hawks.
Yeah, it was a rough night.
So that's not
at least you can make fun of Chuck for it. But Jeff Teague happens to all of us when we blank out on things.
Yeah, especially but Jeff Teague's actually on the Bucks, and he's a guy that at some point when he was with the Pacers, man, was looked at as like one of the better players. But listen, I just think that when you look at it, I want to go with the law of averages. Atlanta has a better chance in being able to replicate the productivity of Trae Young.
Tonight, you have the Phoenix Suns up 3-2, and they are trying to wrap this series up.
They better. Bart,
they better tonight. And I, it's rare that I would sit there and say that when you consider a Game 7 would be in Phoenix. But I can't let it get there if I'm Chris Paul. I can't let it get there. I can't let doubt take over the moment for this basketball team. And I can't let the doubt that actually surrounds Chris Paul and his aura be part of this about, I can't let the story of him not getting to the finals become the requiem about my basketball team and not getting there. Get it on the road and get it over with, because I hate to say it, I would hate their chances in Game 7.
Yeah.
Hate them, even at home.
Because all those ghosts of Christmas past starts to creep up into your mind. That's why Chris Paul didn't even want to talk about being up 3-1, because he's, I think, not lost once, but twice when his team was up 3-1. So now you talk about, you know, the pressure is on Phoenix. Phoenix is a team that's supposed to win. And can you imagine in Chris Paul's career? Usually it was the other way around, right? He hurt his hamstring in Houston, and they fell short against Golden State, threw up all those threes, couldn't hit a three. But could you imagine saying, look, Chris, you're supposed to be a great player, best leader in this. We gave you a lot of accolades, right? You were up 3-1 against a Kawhi-less Leonard Clippers, and you fell short again.
Yes, yeah, that's going to be
– it's you.
That's going to be talked about for a long time and a massive, massive part of his legacy.
But look, one scarlet letter come will be peeled off Pandemic P to playoff P,
yeah.
And it'll be a double letter put on Chris Paul.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. Boogie Cousins the other night goes off about how Paul George has been wrongly ripped and he's one of the greats to ever lace him up, which, I mean, let's not get nuts here, okay? But I will say this. I'm one of those guys, and I said it yesterday, that is maddened by watching him be as great as he was in scoring 41 and then other times just not even feeling like he's that into the game. And, Bart, if he comes back and wins this series, my opinion of Paul George will forever change, and I think a lot of opinions across the basketball world about Paul George will forever change.
Well, crazy. You are until you're not, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just sports. You are until you're not. LeBron couldn't win the big one until he could. Michael Jordan couldn't win the big one, losing to the Bad Boys, can't get by, until he could, right? That's the narrative of players, of great players in which we bestow greatness on or borderline Hall of Fame. You know, we talked about we're going to have this narrative about Carmelo Anthony, right, where we're going to say he was never able to win a big game, right? We have the narrative about Allen Iverson. We have the narrative about Karl Malone. We got the same narrative about Patrick Ewing. Like, stop it, man. Like, listen, you're supposed to be able to take the big bullets. You're the star. You get paid the most money. You're the guy that they're going to put the mic in front of your face every single time. And if you fall short, then you're going to get criticized. Everybody does it, man. Listen, I'm so tired of this, you know, ninth place trophy. Everybody got to be in charge of people's feelings. No, we live our, as athletes, we live our life in a bubble. And we're going to be judged. And we get judged every day.
Part of the job.
It's part of the job, man. If we set ourselves up for criticism. We, me, you, Chris, everybody with ESPN, ABC, NBC, they have an entire department set up for analyzing people, right? And how do we separate the good from the great? It's usually by who wins the title, who's the best, who's the champion, right? That's how we decide it. And then we have the GOATs. And the GOATs are decided about who was the most impactful, who has the best resume, and that's how we do it. So for them to be talking sensitive, listen, come on, Boogie, stop it. You're the same dude that was saying, hey, he didn't understand why James Harden was all bought in, and then when they cut your ass, you was in your feelings. Stop it, Boogie.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Would winning this series completely change your opinion about Paul George and losing it completely ruin your legacy of Chris Paul? And then there's this last part of it, too, though. We're going to get to an NBA Finals that could be starless in a lot of ways, or at least second-level star at best. Mm-hmm. That's going to take something away from the champion.
It will.
That's going to absolutely make this a championship that will not be treated with nearly as much respect. And frankly, like, if you're KD sitting at home right now, you have got to be kicking yourself watching what's going on.
Yeah, but guess what, right? It was survival of the fittest, right? And everybody had their stars to start, right? And it showed, and it's this. I think whoever wins the championship this year will be a testament to the depth of the others, right? This is a championship for the others. And usually when you have championships, and then you can go down the list, it's been very few championships where the big shot was made by the big star. I can think of Kyrie as one of a few, right? We think about Ray Allen, his shot against the Spurs in the corner. He wasn't the superstar at that point. He was the third or fourth wheel. He was a guy that came in and played a role. You think about Robert Horry, you know, all the big shots that he's made to win championships. For me, being a Pistons fan, it's 007, baby. It's Vinnie Johnson, right? Steve Kerr. So it's about the others, right?
But it's different when you don't have those big-time players on the court at all.
But guess what? Guess what? Somebody's going to have to emerge as a star, right? So that's the thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, as we're not going to have a star, somebody's going to – listen, right now, Reggie Jackson's stock is through the roof, right? This dude
He's
is out here.
Great.
This dude's out here like Bitcoin. Now, if he was out there, he was only taking maybe 15, maybe 10 shots a game, it would be underwhelming. But now somebody else has to be a star, right? We all assume roles on teams, right? And Reggie Jackson has been a star on teams before. He was brought to Detroit to be a star, right? We talk about, you know, Chris Middleton. He's brought there to be a star. Somebody's going to have to be a star. Somebody's going to emerge as a star. Somebody's going to get a shooting.
There are stocks that continue to go up and up and up, and there are stocks that go up and down. And I don't think anybody that emerges as a star is going to be a long-term star in the league on the level of these guys that we've lost.
They're going to have their moment.
Sure, they'll have their moment. Will be treated with less importance.
Who's the guy that got the big interception for Dallas Cowboys? Something Larry Brown. See, you didn't even have to Google that, right?
Yeah, because it was against the Steelers. Thanks.
Larry Brown got that when he got paid for the Raiders and was a bum. Dexter Jackson was the star of the Super Bowl for the Tampa Bay the first time they won in 2002, and he went and got paid and was a bum. But tell you what, he had his moment, and people are always going to remember that he shined on the biggest stage at the biggest time.
That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Let's hit Mel in Queens up first on Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Mel, go.
I want to say that I don't understand the hate that Paul George be getting, right? It is a stigma, and once that narrative is on you, there's nothing you can do about it. Because Paul George, this is his third conference finals, right? He's been to two in the East, and this is his first in the West. Outside of LeBron James, maybe Kevin Durant, Westbrook, and Curry, there's no other player that has done that. Y'all always want to big up Chris Paul as some winner, but every team he went to, he's underachieved. But it seems like y'all treat Chris Paul better
Let me help you for a second. This is why we treat Chris Paul better, because he goes to dysfunctional places and he makes them respectable. And you talk about what he did at OKC. We thought OKC was rebuilding. He took him to the playoffs and almost took him to the second round. Pandemic P gets that because you have to win. Yeah, he's supposed to be a great player. He lost to LeBron four straight years in a row in the playoffs, right? So at some point, it's one-sided when you can't beat the champ or you can't beat the guy that you're supposed to be a co-superstar with in the league.
It is
well-deserved what he's getting because he hasn't showed up.
It's really rare when you have that moniker, either positive or negative, and you haven't earned it.
Right. He gave himself a nickname, and people start calling him Playoff P. You can't give him a nickname. Playoff Rondo got called Playoff Rondo because he just started balling in the playoffs. Anybody? He got that from his teammates. That's like Zion coming in and said, call me Zy the Great. Like, hold on, what? You want us to call you Zy? What have you done to be Zy the Great? LeBron came in with the King, and he lived up to it from day one.
Even among your buddies, though, it never works when you give yourself a nickname. Never.
I call you Baby Buddha. Did you ask me to be called Baby Buddha?
No.
But you're the wise man to me, so I call you Baby Buddha, and it's starting to stick.
You know what I tried in high school once? Didn't stick. Tiny. Didn't stick. I was doing it ironically, but it still didn't stick.
Right. Tiny C.
888-729-3776. It is Chris Carlin in for Alan Hunt today.
If I'm wrong, tell him to call in, man.
Get on the lines right now. Load them up. 888-729-3776. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, is presented by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Up next, we Turn our attention to some baseball and the Yankees. Brian Cashman, very blunt in his assessment yesterday, but is there a much bigger problem and an identity crisis with the Yankees? We'll explain next. Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Yeah. I mean, for a GM to say we suck right now,
yeah,
that basically tells you the entire picture. But Bart, there's a bigger thing at work here.
Oh, really?
The Yankees just aren't the Yankees anymore. And I'm not talking about spending money. If you want to look at the situation truthfully, they have spent $2.4 billion in salaries since not just their last championship, the last time they went to a World Series, $2.4 billion. Now you are at the point where the owner is not going to throw more money at the problem and go over the competitor balance tax. And frankly, I don't blame him.
Do better.
Why would you throw more money at the problem hoping that it would fix this mess? And if you're going to be completely blunt, you have more of a Yankee situation across town with the Mets with a new owner. The Yankees right now are the Mets of being the Yankees, if that makes sense. The Mets for years and years would find a way to screw this up, and the Yankees seem to be doing that right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, man, because they have to maybe reinvent themselves and maybe have that internal meeting where they figure out how do they want to go into the future. You know, we thought that them going into the future was more about the analytics and being able to get a more press-friendly manager, being able to give more control to the general managers. Listen, baseball teams are ran by general managers now. They're not ran by the coaches. The coaches used to be The managers used to be like the face, the figure, the authoritary, the authority. Was it authoritarian?
Authoritarian.
Yeah, authoritarian. You know what I mean? They were the one
with authority.
The buck, yeah, whatever. Yeah, the buck stops there, right?
Right.
It used to stop there. Now it doesn't. It seems like, you know, you got the general managers up there playing MLB, the game, you know, EA Sports. You know what I mean? They're up there, you know, making all the moves, and they're the ones with the puppet strings and things of that sort. So Cashman coming out saying we stink really is a reflection. And listen, what I always loved about Cashman, he would be honest as he can be, and he points the thumb, not the finger, and he pointed directly at him saying, listen, Boone has nothing to do with this. It's not a lack of effort. You know, but you got to start, you know, looking at your farming system as well. Like, what kind of prospects are you bringing up?
The fact that these guys
don't know how to run the bases adequately, that they don't know the nuance of the game, that means that they're not learning it on that level how to be a professional.
That's what the minor leagues are for. You're not supposed to have to learn that, and that's to your point. The development is not there. So how exactly does this get better? He was asked that question yesterday. Here was his response. Yeah, and sometimes it is what it is, and they've been thoroughly inconsistent for quite some time, and I'm looking across town at the Mets. The Mets are just better than the Yankees are right now in New York, and that is not where the balance usually is struck in that town.
Well, look what the Mets have done last year with beefing up their analytic department, with hiring a lot of people away from Boston, right? Being able to bring in more people with more baseball acumen to try and close the gap. And they've made some very smart decisions on how they acquired, you know, Lindor, being able to spend money and bring in the talent to give Jacob deGrom and that good pitching staff a defensive infield that can be a little bit better so that you can keep the score down when you do, you know, get hits.
The Yankees have done an unbelievable job in stripping down what was a team that was built to compete for a championship each year and then just go a complete opposite direction, not build from the bottom up, and try to construct a team that is solely based in power and nothing else.
I know left-handed hit it. I don't understand that, the left-handed part, why I know left-handed hit it.
All I know is you look at the Rays, who strike out more than anybody, and they also score more runs than virtually anybody, and they have lefty and righty and lefty and righty and switch hitters. The Yankees have done this to themselves. And here's my other question about any of this. At what point does it become enough? At what point do you look at the process of what you're doing and say, this isn't working. I need to get fresh people in here to change it. I'm reading yesterday in the New York papers about how, well, this front office in particular has been able to hit the reset button before in 2016. Look, I respect Brian Cashman, but nobody has played the media game better than Brian Cashman over the years. You return phone calls, you get the benefit of the doubt from people. Yeah. That's just all there is to it. You give them information, guess who's going to protect you a little bit more? Yeah. I think that's been a massive part of this that doesn't get reported. And we got on him yesterday. We got on one of the callers yesterday about this not being George anymore. You need to get past that. Well, you also need to understand that just putting on the Yankee uniform doesn't make you a champion if you're a player.
Right.
You know, that's the thing. There doesn't seem to be the need for the grind. There's greatness associated with the franchise, but that doesn't mean you're great just because you put on a jersey.
You tell me, and Yankee fans, you tell me, is it a lack of leadership in that clubhouse? Because ever since CeCe has left,
I don't think Aaron Judge is a leader.
Right, it doesn't seem to be that bite. Well, first of all, it's so hard to be a leader if you're hurt all the time. If you're missing 60 games a year, it's hard to be a leader, right? But I don't know who the leader is. Brett Gardner can't be a leader. He can't play anymore.
No.
Like, so you get no respect there. So, like, I think it's a lack of leadership. Who's that guy that's going to come in and say, this is how we do business? Who's the guy that's going to, you know, ooze machismo? Who's the guy that's going to instill confidence? Who's the guy that when everybody aren't playing well, he say, hey, ride my back, ride my co-head tail.
Let me ask you
something.
I think
it's a lack of leadership.
Okay. And if you're Aaron Judge and you're in a situation where you haven't been paid yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to enter this quite a bit in his own mind, and maybe he's not as worried about being a leader of a team as he is worried about getting the first big contract because he hasn't gotten it yet.
So what you're saying is he wants stability, he wants security, and right now he's Roscoe Jenkins, team of me.
Yeah.
Like what team? I'm the team. Like
I don't even know that that's fully it. But
well, focus on himself.
He doesn't strike me as somebody that's out in front screaming and yelling at teammates. And that's fine. You can lead by example, right, too. But you're right. There is no semblance of who's in charge in that room right now.
Exactly.
None.
Who can galvanize the troops? You know, they're struggling right now. Who can pull everybody together? Hey, man, we're going to get our stuff together, man. Like, you know, bring your asses. Like, let's go to work. The only way out of this is working. And follow my lead. Right? Because I think that Jacob DeGrom is a leader, right? I think he's a guy that...
And it's not easy to be when you're only pitching every five
days.
Right.
I think Lindor is a leader, right? I think Lindor is a guy that came in and the troops kind of rallied around his leadership ability. His personality is electric. Like, Judge just seems like an introvert sometimes, and I don't know if he has the personality. You would think that Giancarlo Stanton, with all that he's accomplished, would be somebody that they could say, hey, come on, God. But he almost seems like an import.
Yeah.
He feels like an outsider.
Case in point, last night, the Yankees put 11 runs up on the board. Who's the star of the game? Ohtani. We're going to talk more about Ohtani in a bit. Matt Vasgersian, voice of Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN Radio and also voice of the Anaheim Angels, is going to join us at the top of the hour. It's Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott with you. Coming to you live from the Seaport District of Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Up next, though, major, major problems brewing down south. Is a big divorce on the way in Big D? That is next after Bart tells you about our friends from the Home Depot.
Get more out of summer with savings on innovative washers and dryers during the 4th of July Savings Day event at the Home Depot. Give your laundry room an upgrade with big savings on in-store and online on top appliances. Right now, you can save a bundle. Celebrate summer with the 4th of July Savings Day event at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only while supplies last. Free delivery on purchases of $396 or more. Valid through July 14th. Your calls after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Han.
Doncic for the shoot.
I can't tell you how many $1,000s I've lost to him on half-court shots.
Luka drives to the broken line, shoots with contact, the foul line, off the rim, the glass, and in.
The attitude this kid brings to the game nightly can strike fear into the heart of the opponent.
Oh, Luka!
That was a no heave by Luka that went in.
It's getting uglier and uglier in Dallas, and understandably so, frankly. It is Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn, along with Bart Scott, has all the management stuff turned the dream of building your own law practice into a nightmare? Well, take charge with Lexicon Practice Management Software and Services. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection. KP, Kristaps Porzingis, and Luka Doncic, from all accounts, don't seem to get along very much at all. There was the incident where Porzingis stepped out during the Clippers series and went to the nightclub, as it were, and that did not go over too well when he got having to deal with the COVID protocol stuff, yeah, where he violated the COVID protocol. That didn't go over too well with Luka Doncic, and now you hear more and more about how these two have had several dust-ups and don't get along. And here's a quote from Mark Cuban that I think is incredibly telling. Trust me, nobody wants to get Luka more help than I do. This is what he told CBS Sports. But what do we really need is really the question, and we need a second scorer. There's no question about it. I think people were unfairly giving KP a hard time. He is who he is. What that means is, he is not that guy.
Yes,
and you might be trying to protect him a little bit, but
no, listen,
you're the ones that gave him all that money, and he got $101.5 million left in the contract.
Yeah, Mark Cuban is one of the best businessmen, but also one of the best communicators. You know, you see him on Shark Tank. He's sharp. He knows what he's talking about. So this little subtle jab is kind of letting everybody know what he really truly believes about Porzingis, also talking about a couple of dust-ups, right? And, you know, we know what comes with baggage. We talked about yesterday, we kind of laughed a little bit about LeBron, his posse, when Phil Jackson said something about it. But we know what comes with Luka. I mean, what comes with Porzingis is his brother.
Yeah.
And his brother ruined the relationships here inside of
New York. Yep.
And, you know, his brother's got his ear. And his brother's telling him, man, you ain't got to play second fiddle to this dude. You just as talented as he is. And it is crazy, right? When, like, I went and I played next to Ray Lewis, right? I'm thinking, I'm the truth. I'm the truth in my head, too. I can ball. But at some point, I had to admit to myself that he was better. And that is a tough conversation for anybody that is a star to admit to themselves that, you know what, I am good. I'm a good player. This dude is great. And what makes it even worse is that Porzingis is 25. So he's still at the height of his power saying, hey, man, I'm the damn unicorn. KD called me the unicorn. And now this guy's came and stole my luster. And this kid is younger than me, and he's the future. He's 21 years old. He's a kid to me. I'm 25. And he has to accept that I'm Robin. And he doesn't want to be anybody's Robin at this point in his career.
I don't think he's Robin. And I think that is an incredible lack of self-awareness. Because all you have to do is watch him play to realize that he's better than you. And if you have somebody in your ear telling you that you are better and you don't need him and you shouldn't be playing second fiddle to anybody, that guy is not helping you. The people who do not tell you the truth in your life
family
are the
members.
Ones that family do members not are the worst. Help.
Because they gassed you up all the way to this point. I remember Ben playing with James Hedebo, and he had all his cousins here from Africa, his brothers, and they had all his jerseys tied in. And they said, James Hedebo is the best safety in the NFL. And I said, man, stay off the weed.
On ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.